Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
Sure. 10 seconds of silence. All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday. I'm Augie Carton, and we are stealing beer in Jersey City at Barcade.
I love that I can be here 2 weeks in a row when we record shows back-to-back.
Yeah. Well, as long as you can make one Monday a month.
So we did last week's show, and now we're doing this show all at the same time, so I can be here. So we should do this more often. You guys can just come on the road with me. Yeah. Hi, I'm John Hall. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know that voice, because he never comes, that's John Hall.
Screw you, I was here last week.
My accomplice in these affairs.
I was here last week.
And we, although Justin Kennedy is here because he's a much harder worker than John Hall.
I don't know if that's true.
It's totally true. Brian Cass, hardest working guy in the place.
Right, so Justin Kennedy's here. Brian Cass is the hardest working.
Justin Kennedy's here producing us. Yeah, that is a cheesy-ass mustache. We'll get to that. You should tweet that shit. All right, so Justin Kennedy's here producing us. Brian Cass is tweaking our ass across the crossfader. Check out idrinkgoodbeer.com because that's his shit.
And I have had just the right
amount
of
beer. Yeah, this is your sweet spot. This is
so
our Johnny Hall sweet
charming
spot.
Charming for this
I like
show.
It. Yeah. And jovial. Until you get bored.
I too get totally bored until that second beer kicks in and then, yeah.
I feel like we're doing a weird study on how long we can torture these two.
Oh, we have guests.
We have guests.
We have accomplices.
And they're here.
I learned last week that's what we call our guests. This is exciting.
That is true.
Announce yourselves.
No. They don't need to. We can do it.
No,
but
they need
no
introduction.
I'm looking for Amit's last name. Amit, say your last name.
Ram, R-A-M.
All right, so that's Amit.
It's super hard. Thanks, Augie, for that. Yeah,
I didn't know it. All right, so yell at me a little more. And then we got Chris. So you guys are Newberg Brew Team.
And Chris.
We are.
Say your last name.
Basso.
Yeah, let's
not
be
Basso.
Equal opportunity.
Not
it's
Basso,
B-A-S-S,
no.
Which would be bass, but then there's an O. So it's Basso.
Name it on the Basso.
And together you guys are... Now tell me. So this
Twins.
All right. So this is another one of those interviews, Hall, where I need your help, because Chris and I have been pretty closely associated for all of our careers as Newberg and Carton. You guys started right around the time we did, right?
Yeah,
we were
absolutely.
End of 11. You guys were beginning at 12.
I remember that variety
just
show
had 4
from
years
the 70s.
In April,
it was on
so.
CBS, right? Newberg and Carton.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That
actually, came on after 60 minutes.
To be fair, if you don't watch, this could become Newberg and Carton pretty quick.
I'm always available on Mondays.
Nice. That'll be fun. That's actually good to know because John doesn't come a lot.
Yeah,
you could be a very good guest.
Don't believe that 5 o'clock bullshit he says.
Except getting to
I'm
Jersey City
sure
is kind
it's
of
6:15
a,
right now.
A
but
trick.
Yeah.
We're definitely at Barcade though. That was true.
We are definitely in Barcade.
Right.
I can hear the
so
Jambo
Chris,
Safari in the
background. We officially started selling beer to the public on August 15th, 11. You guys officially started selling beer to the public
April 19th. 2012.
Okay. 12. Yeah. So, within 6 months of each other.
Yeah.
So, at those first fests, when you go and you meet everybody, you and I were next to each other a lot, which was great. We got to spend a lot of time. So, we're up to 12 full-time salary employees at Carton. How big is Newberg now?
We are not that many employees. We are, what do we have? Me and Amit are in the brew house. Then we have one, two, three. I guess we're six or seven.
Right on.
Full time. And then we have a pretty robust tap room staff.
Did you count yourself in?
I think so, yeah.
All right. You should.
For the listeners who don't know what Newberg is or where it is or
Newberg
what you
Brewing
guys
Company.
Make.
In Newburgh, New York.
But I'm asking them because you're going right into how many employees do you have. I would like to know a little bit more about your beer philosophy,
this
where
is why
you guys
I asked
are.
For the help. I know
when,
too much.
When can people come and visit you? What are you proud of that you make?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you like drinking that you make?
I like drinking all of it.
Yeah.
Get that out of the way.
Why does this beer smell like pepperoni?
But then...
Go on.
Well, we have Newberg Brewing Company, Newberg, New York. We're right on the Hudson River in a 150-year-old factory building. Rehabbed it. We got a beautiful tap room on the fourth floor, overlooks the river. You can visit there Wednesday through Sunday. Hours are a little complicated. It's all on the website. And then we brew about six or seven year-round beers, seasonals, one-offs. all kinds of different things. I've probably brewed almost 50 beers since we've been open.
Yeah, in 4 years.
Amit's been with me about a year now.
Right on.
In that time,
Amit.
We've done
nice to
tons of different things, and he's
nice
really
to
allowed
meet
us
meet
to
you.
Do lots of, you know, just more things. You know, we started bottling,
so
canning,
that means,
all that,
that
stuff.
That means you're the hardest working guy in brewing, because you're also the face I see at all the events.
We try
so,
to be,
you know what I mean?
Things.
I get to go to a lot of events because I do a lot of different things, but I'm not also one of two brewers. I'm one of six brewers. So,
yep.
Man, you work harder than even I thought you did, and I know you work hard. So let's backtrack a little. So let's go into the Newberg building. You are a
right.
tall,
describe
proper
each one of your
old
employees.
No, but you're a tall.
No, we're not backtracking to that point. All right.
You might be a little ahead of me.
Show us their passports.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amit
is legal.
Right. Trump is going to build a wall. not saying somebody's in trouble, but.
Okay, mark the calendar that's the first Trump comment on Steal This Grab. I'm waiting for it to happen. There's no way we make it through November without
it. Because I haven't been here.
But let's just let it be.
All right, fine.
All right. So it's a proper brick, old, kind of turn of the century New York Hudson Valley.
Well, you still haven't
warehouse.
Been. I need to call you out on your show.
No, I haven't been there yet. How would I be? I'm meeting you at events.
Yeah,
we meet at Captain Lawrence, and we drink sours, and that's how this shit works.
That is true.
But
that is
true. But anyway, I know the building, like, but it's a four-story building. You brew on the bottom two. You host upstairs.
Exactly.
And it's a giant old industrial, like, back before they made structures much taller than that, right? It's one of those kind of turn-of-the-century big red brick warehouse.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
As tall as you
brick
can go
walls,
with bricks.
Wooden floors, and that's about it.
He's doing an interview for your magazine.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
But anyway,
Justin,
so
to paint
the square footage
Justin
of the tasting room
is
like
to other
giant,
people.
Right? It's a big room,
probably about 5,000 square feet.
Yeah, so it's a
something
big,
like that,
and it's the top floor, right? So it's you can
yeah,
actually
top
see
floor,
the Hudson
views of the
from
river.
Up there,
yeah,
right?
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's awesome. And you've kind of always been a brewer, right? Straight out of college, you went to whatever, but you have a culinary background too, right? Like I have a culinary background in that I've worked at 50 restaurants, but I would never have been a full-time chef, right? You've worked in restaurants. You have some schooling, all schooling?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Out of college, I went to culinary school at a French Culinary Institute here in New York City. I think it's something different now, but it was at the time. And then shortly after that, I was working in a restaurant and called Telepan up
oh,
on
yeah, yeah. Great
Upper
chef.
West Side.
Bill
yeah,
Telepan's
Bill Telepan.
One of New York's famous
great
chefs.
Chef. Learned a lot there. And
that's legit. That's
I was
cool
working part-time at Brooklyn Brewery at the same time of being full-time on the line there.
Were you getting paid at Brooklyn?
I was, luckily.
That's awesome.
But that was like part-time work.
Yeah, but it's
full-time in the
but
restaurant.
But part-time brewing work? Like not like
yeah, I brew in
tours,
the mornings.
You were like carrying
oh, yeah,
grain
no, I was,
and washing
yeah,
kegs.
I mean, yeah, cleaning kegs and taking out the garbage and
yeah, but that's
mashing
brewing.
Out
that
and all that stuff.
Brewing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got my foot in the door there, did all that work part-time. Afternoons, I'd head to the restaurant, work there till close. And
so
then,
that's your history.
Did that about
now, the
a year.
Reason I was asking is because they can eat at your place, too,
yeah.
Which I've always been jealous of. How involved do you get to still be in the menu, or have you just had to commit 100% brewing? Because with a I didn't realize it was Bill Telepan, but with a proper cuisine background, I imagine it's great to sit down and eat your food with your beer.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun. I mean, early on, especially when we opened, I mean, the whole menu is me and my sister, who's a CIA grad.
Oh, right on.
And she's our taproom manager now. She really...
Were your parents in the restaurant business?
No, not at all.
How did two of you go to chef school?
Italian background. That's all you need.
Yeah, but don't those people never go to school? Like, you can't make sauce better than your mom. Why would you learn that outside?
While they're having their conversation, I feel that you and I should have our own conversation.
I know, I'm
just back and
here.
Forth in a dueling
that's
conversation,
our job.
As it were. I mean, how do you feel about that?
If Justin was here, he'd be totally okay
good.
With Hall Dot
all right,
talk.
So we're just going to talk over whatever they're saying. So how does it feel to be you right now?
That's your question after that interruption?
You know.
got your attention, didn't I? Now you want to know his answer.
I'm focused.
How does it feel to be me? It feels good, you know. I think I'm at a place, you know, that makes good beer.
Good beer?
Great beer.
There
great
you
beer.
Go. There you go.
We, you know, along with our staple beers, which I guess we've gotten known for, like cream ale and brown ale, which are definitely like, you go places in New York City.
Sure, yeah.
You go places in New York
River
City, you see cream ale.
Yeah.
People know Betsy. People... You know, they have the heart logo. They know it. We get to make a lot of interesting culinary-inspired beers, kind of like what Chris was, you know, talking about his culinary experience. And also, those things are very interesting to me. I think that kind of brought us together, thinking about these, you know, nuanced beers from the food world and just things that keep beer interesting.
Now, Amit, a lot of people are asking me in my personal life, in my professional life, how they become a brewer. And you are now one of a two-guy brewing staff a year in. So tell all the thieves, those that homebrew and those that have this aspiration, what were you doing 3 years ago?
3 years ago, I was actually a professional brewer. But,
for who?
I was working at Cape Ann Brewing Company, making
fishermen. Where's Cape Ann?
Yeah. It's in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
It's in Gloucester. It's the house beer at Barcade.
It's the house beer here at Barcade. You can at all the Barcades, I think you can get Fisherman's Brew always. I think
Park
they have
Parmesan and the founder of Cape Ann and in Gloucester, they all were college buddies. They did a whole trip together.
They all did the show American Beer.
Yeah.
The movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie, but you know, it's a thing.
Yeah, they were all.
There's like one other guy. There's
I'm
like
too busy watching.
And there's
Frozen,
like the guy from the Mighty Mighty Boston's who just like danced behind them. They had a hype man with them, and
I love that guy.
Yeah,
that guy's my favorite.
That guy's
thing
the
about
best
music.
Part of the band.
That guy's,
that guy's
the best
part
about
part.
Music.
Yeah,
if you're gonna put 19 trumpets and you don't have a
so you're up
dancing.
There, and so that brewery is right on the water. That
it's
is
right on
hard
the water.
Up against.
No wait, which
but
one
he was asking for
right on the water. But so, all right, so
I will say Cape Ann's got a pretty good spot.
Right.
We aren't on a beach.
If the boardwalk is not being
but
blocked
you're
by
on
the
water.
Lobster
we are
traps,
on the water,
it's a great place right. to be.
So prior to that.
Right.
So yeah, Augie was asking
when did you start at Cape Ann?
So I started Cape Ann May of 2012.
All right, so what were you doing May of 2011?
So May of 2011, I was living in Israel. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where
brewing?
My... So I started...
wait, by law, beer is kosher, right?
Beer is kosher.
Because wine isn't kosher. You have to kosher beer.
You have to
kosher wine, which fucks wine up.
Wine you have to boil.
But beer is kosher, right?
Beer is kosher, but I think... I'm not too familiar with the religious
I believe
laws,
it is. I believe it is.
Well, because it's boiled. Yeah,
but if you're like doing an oyster stout, it kind of
You
un-coshers.
Can't add trafe to
that's
it.
Probably
but Reinheitsgebot beer is kosher.
Yeah, Reinheitsgebot beer is kosher.
So then you come over here, you get your job. And did you move? Is that why you went from a...
So, first of all, I started homebrewing in Israel.
Okay.
And then I worked at one of the first microbreweries in Israel, Negev Brewing Company.
Okay.
And
get closer to the mic.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. You're good.
So I worked at one of the first microbreweries in Israel for a little while, and I left that and studied psychology.
Okay.
And on my summer break, I was looking to do something interesting. I was still homebrewing in Israel, and I wanted to get like a summer experience somewhere. So. You get these like push notifications and stuff on Facebook, like ACBF is happening. So
right.
I got this like notification, ACBF 2012.
What is ACBF?
American Craft Beer Fest.
That's the beer advocate one that isn't extreme.
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
That's the Alstrom Festival.
The one that now
that's some other
exist.
Beer magazine.
But we're also
exist.
In a state that has a town called Atlantic City, and they have an ACBF
yes,
thing
true.
Too.
Yeah.
Which I'm not voting for it. I'd rather go to the Alstrom one. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah. So I got one of those Facebook posts, and I went on the website, and I saw, the list of brewers. And I was like, okay, this thing is happening in Boston. Let's, see how I get there. And I sent out, 70 or 80 emails to the breweries that were on the list. Hi, I want to come, for a few weeks and, check it out. And there were a few breweries that responded and said, come on your own dime, kind of. And for me, that was okay because it was like just a summer thing. I had a return ticket and I was,
right on.
That's
a good hustle, though. You did a cross-Atlantic hustle to get a serving job at a fest? I feel like that's what we're talking about. I feel like that's the hustle that gets you a job.
Just any experience.
For free.
Just any experience.
You have to be willing to do what nobody else wants to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my job at Brooklyn.
And, by the end of the summer, I got in there doing the fest and just cleaning kegs, and by the end of the summer, I was hired full time. So
right on.
The rest is history.
And he never went back.
Because we do need to move on to the black glass.
Yeah, yeah.
But
oh, is that what brings us together? Are these
well, it will be in a second, but I want to finish.
By the way,
so how did you
cook?
Yours is bigger for some reason.
Well, you know what?
That's how that goes. How did you move from Gloucester to Newburgh? Yeah, I'm assuming you moved, right?
Yeah,
you
I moved. To both. So
they're 4.5 hours apart, 5 hours apart.
Four and a half. So Chris and I, by chance, by luck, we met a few years back at American Craft Beer Fest. Years later, when I was a brewer,
you were diligent.
Yeah, and
I don't think he was trying to get a job.
No,
right,
at that
right
point
away.
He was.
I think he just liked my beer.
Come on,
but
kids got hustle. Kids got hustle.
Maybe he had a master plan all along.
I don't know. But
so what moved you? Did the job move you, or did you move you and ask for the job?
So my fiance Kelly is originally from Poughkeepsie, and that's about 20 or 30 minutes from Newburgh. And when we started dating 3 years ago, I had already known Chris, and we were visiting every time we went for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Visiting her parents, we'd always steal away for a night at the brewery, and over time, we just got closer and closer,
and it moved her closer to home.
And yeah, we knew that we wanted to live in the Hudson Valley.
Just so you know, anybody between my age and John Hall's age grew up with a show called Facts of Life, which makes us very Peekskill, Poughkeepsie, Newburgh fluent, because those were the surrounding towns on Facts of Life. And
is
that's
that where
the
show was set?
That's where the girls would sneak out to at night. When they got a little older.
I don't know if girls would want to sneak out to Poughkeepsie.
I'm just telling you, that's how that went. That's how that went. All right, so hold on. So it brings us together. Steal This Beer is about just taking the pretension and all the silliness out of beer and just what beer is and what it, what's fun about it, what's cool, and not what it isn't, which is too important, too serious, or too ridiculous. The way we facilitate that conversation is we drink out of black glasses. Now, you brought this, right? This is your beer?
This is the beer that I brought.
This? Okay. And Justin poured it. Justin's off mic.
Yeah,
even
Justin
further
is,
off
Justin
mic
is
now.
Like off somewhere. Like,
well, to be fair, some of you were hearing Justin's voice, and
right.
That's why we moved
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I scolded him on a text while we were all talking. All
but
right,
anyway,
so you said.
Now hold on, I said pepperoni. I got it. It's clearly smoked beer, but underneath it, it feels more like a rich kind of Bock.
No, there's something very meaty about.
Well, it's
this
the smoke.
Beer.
This,
yeah,
is,
no,
this is a Rausch beer
smoke,
for sure.
It's, yeah,
and I would even guess like. Because the type of salami I smelled on it was like finocchione, like a fennel-heavy salami,
yeah.
I would say maybe there's some herbs in it and maybe they're fennel. But the problem is under that smoke aroma, which is all that meatiness, it just seems to be a straightforward kind of Bock, like a good, serious, clean, fermented, pretty Martzen kind of flavors.
Yeah.
And then there's that, and it, you don't even pick up much smoke on the palate.
No,
but the aroma
is aroma.
Whack, just straight hung meat smoke.
And the mouthfeel is very muted, very sedate. It doesn't have a ton of robust carbonation coming off of it. This beer for me is definitely wood-fired pizza.
Yeah, that's where you put it?
Wood-fired pizza.
Wood-fired pizza. Like a straight-up margarita, fresh out, because the Rausch beer brings out, I think, some of that additional little bit of smoke that you might get off of a wood-fired pizza, but also that little bit of pepperoni, that little bit of fennel, I think is going to really boost up the rest of that pizza. So
I'm going the other way.
All right.
I have vegan friends.
Shock me.
Oh, I have vegan friends.
No.
And they invite me to
you
vegan
are a Renaissance man.
Cookouts. And
do they really?
Yeah, they do.
Why don't they like you?
They think they like me. but I would bring this to that. That's this, right? Because so the sweetness underlying in the body of the beer is going to handle things
you
like.
You want to tempt them with meat flavors. That's
No. I want to have something that makes sense of what they're doing, right?
Better.
So when you grill, so properly grill, think about like any Greek or
how
pretty
hard,
much anywhere in the Middle East.
How hard are
like
you
olive oil,
the
salt, pepper, grilled vegetables,
right?
Your zucchinis and all that. And
sure.
It picks up that greenness. The sweetness in this is going to handle that. And just the meaty presentation is going to give like an almost umami thing to that stark meal.
No, but seriously, how hard are you hitting the flask in the car on your way to a vegan barbecue?
Dude, here's the thing. you can cook anything for
you
me.
Might
you
need
can pick
to.
The worst.
Right, you
seriously.
Might need to.
You can pick
seriously.
The worst. Give me tripe. If your culture learned how to cook tripe,
yeah.
it's because you needed to make it taste good. Yeah. There's a lot more skill in making tripe taste good than foie gras.
You didn't answer my question. How hard are you hitting?
No,
the
I want to see what they have because you know me. I'll tell people they're assholes. If I get there and their food is shit, if it's all tofurkey and Satan, however you say that word, Satan.
I would love to see you. I would love to see you just like hit up one of like the organic Dixie plates, the compostable plates that they're using. That as soon as hot food touches it, it starts to disintegrate.
Brown rice
the
plates.
Plate.
I know.
Yeah. One of those, and just like throw it back in your host's face, and just be the asshole that walks out of
no,
there.
No, I'm not that guy. Like, I'm never that robust. I just go. Well,
where are you going? You're going to what's the place?
But I will
Bay
say things like,
so
yeah, no, I
there.
Think you tried.
Yeah,
but you didn't succeed.
All right.
And you should read this guy's book, right? Because there's a couple chefs out there with all vegetarian cookbooks.
Yeah.
And if you were cooking out of one of those books and nailing it, like if you give me the guy from
I just saw what it was.
Hold on. Well, but you know we wrote our sentences. The reveal's
yeah.
okay. Right, what
show
is
us.
It?
Of course.
It's Weissbier Hill by Andachs Weiss. So this is just a straight up Weiss? There's
this
no smoke
Andex,
at all?
This is an Andex.
There's no smoke in
Weissbier.
This.
Weissbier. No smoke.
There's not.
Do you not get what we were talking
That's
about?
My knowledge.
Did you guys get the smoke off of this? Because I certainly
you know,
didn't
know what it was.
You
know, in a black glass, you get it. And I think.
No.
No, but you definitely get the smoky clove phenolics that come off of it.
I want to know how they roast that.
I'm 100% on it.
Maybe they. Because
that's not clove
till now. It's a small monastic brewery in Germany, from what I know.
So that's a dirty roast.
They could be doing some of their own. I think they do their own things.
There you go.
Augie will take any inch that you give him.
No, I won't.
Yep, they
I'm
do their own malting. It's we'll got to be smoked.
You know, that's why I love listening to this show.
But that's why it's a great beer. I mean, I think it's more complex than most vice beers. We really like it.
Yeah.
So
you know what? I really want to write my sentence for this beer.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah,
what do you want
to
do with it?
Because, you know, I brought it specifically.
But it's no fair. You prepped your sentence.
I prepped my sentence.
We're a la minute in chef
did
terms.
Did you practice in the mirror this morning?
Yes,
did you practice?
I did.
Did you
like, here's what I'm going to tell John Hall.
So if you used to ask me, like, what was my desert island beer, I'd say Weinstephaner,
sure.
Hefeweizen, day, night.
So you're saying there's
no
good beer in Israel.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
But the wine's kosher.
Weinstephaner, actually, I think Israel is one of their highest export states.
Yep. Completely with that.
Yeah.
Think about the food I was describing to go with that beer.
Very
That's
much,
why you're
yeah.
not noticing the salami, right?
But the
it's
thing
all
was,
grilled vegetables with some simple cheeses.
Very much,
go
yeah.
on.
The thing was, the day I discovered Andex, I was waiting for my fiance Kelly to finish a Jingle Bell run in Boston while sitting in a Mexican restaurant, and all they had was, you know, like this on draft. And
really?
I was like, wow, I really like that beer. It was like a perfect...
So you want to drink this beer in a city that's not your own while your girlfriend is exercising.
And I'm eating Mexican food.
And you're just slaughtering
awesome
cuisines. Yeah, that's
like
the right
best sentence.
That's
what's
right
going
sentence.
On there.
But all you really said is, I want to go back to the day I was most in love.
Oh.
Anyway, thank you. So let's get back to Newburgh. Here's what I love about it. There's a million things I love about Newburgh, but have you done an IPA yet?
Yeah, we're actually...
Like a 6%
yeah,
American IPA?
Mega Boss.
Okay. I haven't had it
on the Instagram. We just
no,
posted
I haven't had it
today.
Yet.
Yeah, Augie doesn't
no,
go
we're,
on the Instagram.
We're pretty proud of it.
No,
we're
what's
actually,
on Instagram?
It's been doing really well. It's only been since last November.
Now, why? Because you wanted to make one? Like,
you know
what I mean? Like, cause
I'm very stubborn on those
No, I know
of
you're
things.
Stubborn, and that's but that's what I love about you. You lead... All right, we have to talk about cream ale because to me that's an upstate New York thing, and I know you're not that
Absolutely.
Far upstate, but
yeah.
cream ale is an upstate New York
you're
thing.
Barely upstate.
In our
and
area,
your,
though, I mean,
your beer is a cream
thing,
ale.
Yeah.
We need to talk about that, but first I want to just
We're
talk
about
the fact
about
that
how great Jenny
I didn't know
is.
You had an IPA. I know you for things like Cafe Sour and Spruce Tip beers.
It's the only
and
beer I drink
yeah,
these
yeah.
days.
Really great fuck around beers, but then your base beers are straight up. Two style, cream, brown.
Generally,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
We try to really, yeah.
So how do you...
I kind of have... The, yeah, there's like... The
tell me about your balance. How do you pick what you're doing?
There's like the year-round philosophy, and then the one-off can be anything. That's kind of where it goes
off the
rails.
But
the
one-off is a dozen a year?
Yeah, we try to have about one a month. If, you know, now that we're doing more barrel stuff and bottles and things, we can play around even a little more there. But, yeah, about one a month. But yeah, the year-round stuff, definitely I like to keep it to style. You know, those are almost just more of, you know, we run a business too, you know. Those are the things that need to appeal to more people. They're paying the bills.
Right.
You know, you can't make a spruce tip whatever that's going to be year-round. It'll never sell, you know?
Well.
You're not going to pay the bills.
I disagree. You just got to be patient and
yeah,
stubborn.
I don't know. They're stubborn of, you know, falling on your sword kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I get it. No, you can't be proud. And to be fair, so your partner is Paul, right?
Yep.
All right, I've met Paul a couple
and
times.
Charlie.
He's a sweet guy. But I don't think I've met Charlie, have I?
I don't think so.
All right,
have.
It doesn't matter. These guys don't care. We're talking into microphones. I definitely know Paul. Paul's the other guy I see out with
yes.
you a bunch. And he's the other half of my brain, right? He's a finance CPA guy.
Exactly.
And you guys grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
You were working at Brooklyn for 6 years,
yeah,
which
six,
got folded
seven.
Into the discussion we're having with a culinary yeah. background. You said, I'm going to go open in not your hometown, but your home region, your
we
home
grew up
neighborhood.
10 minutes from Newburgh,
right.
So, I mean.
And he went to high school and then college with you. So this is just a buddy you've known forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, since and we were probably 12 or something.
Yeah. So, and then that starts a partnership, and now it's almost 5 years later, and things are going well, and your number one beer is still a cream ale.
It is. But,
okay, so that's what I want to talk about. Let's, because here's the thing. Augie Carton fucks around with cream ales.
I
and
know
I'm
that.
Probably part of the reason with
Augie
why
refers
you
to himself
catch
in the third
flack
person,
on
apparently.
Cream ales. Like, because I just made a real cream ale with Barrier, like a proper six row
yeah, yeah.
lager, you know, lager temperature ale yeast, proper cream ale. I got yelled at because it wasn't creamy like my lactose cream ales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's my own fault. I made a whole bunch of sugar beers. A proper, real, too traditional upstate New York cream ale is what kind of malt bill, what kind of ferment?
Well, for, I mean, traditionally.
Not for yours. I know yours
traditionally
doesn't
you're
have
any. Yeah, like, you know, six row or
maize.
Maybe two row, and definitely corn. You know, corn was from what I know, the sort of adjunct grain of choice.
Right, you ferment a little colder.
And you ferment
so
cold, whether
up.
It's with a mixed culture of lager and ale yeast or just ale yeast, but generally ale yeast cold.
Right.
You know, from what
and,
I know.
And then you make yours, which is properly sessionable. Yep. I would say half the beers I've had of yours are under 5%, right?
We
you
try
make
to keep
mostly.
A lot sessionable,
or
yeah.
kind of equal up and down 5 mark?
We try to, yeah.
Right on.
So, yeah, it's about 4.2%.
So you're an upstate New York brewery. You make a cream ale. And not even like a hoppy cream ale, just a proper cream ale.
Yeah, it's got a little hop to it, I think.
What's the allure
enough to
keep
make
that style?
Happy with that. What was that?
What's the allure to
well,
make
I
that style?
I actually think it's the regionally appropriate. That's what I'm
yeah,
trying to get to.
Yeah, I think it's a sort of an expression of our home, you know, in our area. And
so Genesee Cream Ale, which
I,
is probably
I had
the
an
most
affinity
famous.
For Genesee Cream
sure,
Ale.
Sure, no,
I
do too.
When
it's
I
all
was,
I drink
you know,
4th of July weekend.
And I couldn't afford anything else.
Is
that
the
right?
The only beer, I buy a 30-pack of Genesee Cream. I put it on ice in the trunk of my car, and my wife drives us around to all the parties that we have to go to. And every place, I have two coolers in the car. The one that has all of like the, you know, the fancy
if
stuff.
If there's one
the
thief that
want to
kill for John Hall's
things.
Life,
right.
they're not listening.
Right. But like, and then the other cooler has the 30-pack of Genesee Cream. And by the end of the weekend, I've personally killed the 30-pack of Genesee Cream because I want a beer that I can drink in the hot summer sun. And have a good time.
Exactly.
And so I have a soft spot for that beer to begin with. And growing up and being at Boy Scout camp and being a Weeblo and drinking it around the campfire, it's something that really kind of speaks to me as a young kid. And
yeah.
none of you got all of you guys just like listened to me as I said that, and none of you picked up on like 7-year-old John Hall, like.
We're letting it go,
Jimmy
man. You're
Creed.
Actually saying interesting
so
stuff for a change.
It's,
no, the fact that Weeblos are young.
Right.
Yeah. I thought of
that
right
the,
away.
That was
no,
the
not
joke.
Me.
Wow, you're really drinking.
Like,
beer.
Yeah. Weeblos. Boy, you were 7 years old and drinking Jenny
Dude, I think like, Weeblos is where
Weeblo.
I learned
I
how to smoke.
Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I learned how to smoke
at
Weeblos.
At the Pinewood Derby? Yeah.
No. Behind the Pinewood Derby.
Behind the Pinewood Derby.
Outside the Methodist
where the,
Church.
Where the nerds in the blue shirts were inside racing there.
Right. When Carton they were actually like, racing, yeah.
He
we were learning how to smoke
a,
and trading porn we found in the woods.
All right. But what do you think it is then? And what's the appeal for you? So it's regionality, you said. But what do you think is what draws your region of the state, New York State, even the Northeast in general, to the cream ale style?
Oh, I mean,
as
I think
a, as a brewer,
I think
yeah.
you can. You just said it. I mean, it's Genesee Cream Ale. I mean, it's a ubiquitous New York, upstate New York beer. So I think our entire region, at least, very few people didn't grow up drinking Genesee Cream Ale. You know, it was
yeah.
it was affordable. It was plentiful. It was, you know, it was easy drinking. And I think when we opened, we knew we wanted to have an easy drinking beer. Like I was saying earlier, you know, it's a business. You need something that's going to be your,
well, and your partner,
your everyday beer. You
but
know,
your partner's a, not as geeky as you are, right? He's come around, but he's definitely a,
oh, he certainly
a,
didn't
a
start
drinker's
off
drinker, right? Like a
alcoholic.
You know, no. We're all alcoholics, dude. But no. How we get there is flavor based or alcohol.
Oh, it took me years to get him to come to Brooklyn Brewery. Yeah.
But
you know,
for me,
now he's
for
fully
me
on
knowing
board.
You two, the Cream Ale seems to be the perfect partnership beer. Like, I'll be very happy making this beer well, and he'll be very happy drinking that beer well, and the two of you together, you know, like, for me, that made sense. And I may be putting things on it there that don't belong, but what I'm saying is I'd be proud of it as a brewer, and
absolutely.
I'd be happy to drink it as a drunk.
Yes.
And as the two of you, not that, you know, I don't want to be being mean to Paul, but it just made sense to me that that's where that partnership would start their their
coming
brewing.
From the brewing side, it would, yeah. Just like you said, yeah, it's something I can absolutely be proud of. I think, you know, more breweries maybe should, you know, realize that, you know, not everything has to be weird and outlandish and or hoppy or anything
hey,
like that.
You,
it can
man.
Be sessionable and yeah, well, even boat beer though, it's hoppy, but it's
well,
it's
it has drinkability.
It's drinkability.
Yeah, well, drinkability. I
think that's
for,
really
but,
what we
yeah,
go for
but
more
that,
than anything is drinkability.
But I think you nailed it. And I think I picture you, even though you're clearly significant, you do as many barrels as we do. You're a 20 barrel brew house. I still think of you as and by some of those choices as a definitively regional brewery, right? Like people from Newburgh and its region are going to be very happy with your cream ale in your space, you know,
absolutely.
Drinking in that room and eating your food. And to me, that's the longevity of the small brewer movement. It's just, you've always made sense to me that way. And when you fuck around, I love the way you fuck around, because you know my favorite of your beers is Cafe Sour. And it might not even be my favorite of your beers, but every time I see you, it's the one you hand me. Because it's my favorite,
well,
so I never
like
get
it.
To
yeah.
chase beyond
I,
it.
Yeah, that's the beer
we
that
like
brought a meat to me as well. Yeah.
All right, so John's reminding me.
We like seeing your face.
I do love drinking Cafe Sour, but John's reminding me we got to drink beer too. And speaking of cafe, I got some coffee on it. Paul Diddy, what do you got?
I got like a. My initial reaction was a cherry wood smoked porter kind of
really
stout. I definitely
but like a
got,
cigar cherry
yeah,
flavor?
Very much coming through. As it's warmed up a little bit, as you guys have been talking about cream ales and you know
non-stop.
Your faces. There's a little bit of a cheesiness to this. There's a little bit of a
so yeah, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. So when I smelled it, I thought it was like a coffee cream ale and the cream had been sour when it was made.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like a coffee cream stout, and the cream had somehow soured.
There's a stale refrigerator smell that comes off of this, something that's been in your fridge, and when you open it up, you kind of get that cold air that something has... It's not a miss, but it's just not something that... It has to dissipate a little
I'm
bit
gonna
before say you
something
like it.
That,
oh, yeah,
that, I'm going to say something that'll defend
Are
this
you?
Beer.
Yeah.
I've been wrestling with the fact that I still smell the other beer in the glass. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah?
I've been trying to look around. I still get that salami smoke of that other beer, for sure.
Well, if Justin was here as a producer, he would have washed out the glasses.
Yeah,
but
no.
Justin
poor
is
Brian
like,
had to... Brian.
And yeah, Brian is not only tweaking... What does he do?
He tweaks our ass across
yeah.
the crossfader. What, you're
apparently
not a Beastie
you
Boys
do
guy?
That, right, you do that. And then...
Mixmaster Mike
Justin
on the ones
is
and twos.
God knows where in the bar, doing God knows what with
now
God
Now you're
knows
sounding
who.
Fussy. You might want to drink more of that beer.
It's a really nice beer. It is. It's just... It has
no,
some
it's,
like,
it's,
weird...
But here's, my,
the glass
here's my thing. I've got too much of that hangover smoke. To nail what's around this, but it's got a pretty sweetness. It definitely has a sour touch, like you're talking about, but like a sour milk. Like if you bought
yeah.
if you bought a cappuccino at Starbucks, couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. Got all the way back to wherever you would drink that, and when it's about halfway down, you're like, I think they steamed sour milk.
Yeah,
I'd be like, oh, that's that flavor.
Yeah.
But the problem is too much of that assigns to salami to me.
Okay.
So I feel like I can't be fair to this beer
right.
because of the beer that was in it before.
It's Orval.
Is it Orval again?
I don't know.
Is it a 2012 Orval? No, so what I'm going with, what I got off the original was I got that sour component you're talking about. And I think it's just a coffee cream stout, but I think it's old. I think it's properly aged. I think somebody held on to this.
All right.
That's a good direction.
That is well, a good direction.
I'm, but I'm also trying to filter out what I think I'm getting from the other beer, which...
which is harder. I'd be surprised if the other beer could bring much to the table when this one's in
then
the
Then there's
glass.
Definitely that
Maybe
sour
in the
milk.
Nose, there's but similarities, but I don't think there was carryover.
But there's definitely some sourness to this milk that might just be that smoke
touch.
Oh,
yeah, no, and I think when you know what it is, you'll... what you've said makes sense.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so, I'm going with a coffeed. I don't know if there's a spirit, Brad, but if so, that's
the
smoke.
Holy crap.
Well, you've just come back from Vermont, so anything without tons of hops is just going to really piss you off right now. It's okay. It's about a five-day adjustment.
Has this beer been filtered? Yeah.
Stop acting like that's filtering. That is flowering. I think it's pretty. I think it's time we know what it is. So
yeah,
where I'm going to put this...
Yeah, Augie doesn't know where this is going. Let's just do the reveal.
No. I know where this is going. This is going...
I know where this is going.
This is going with
this
anything...
This is going to just stretching out time.
No, this is going with anything with balsamic vinegar.
All right.
This has some sweetness to it, some prettiness. It's... Like I said, it's integrated. It's older. It's got its thing. And I want to put things like a tuna steak and like a salad with balsamic on it.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's not... It's definitely smells to me like coffee, sour cream, and maybe some spirit, but none of them enough that it would run over. Like, I wouldn't go past tuna steak on the red meat category, right? It's robust. It's got body. It wants something to chew on. But if you go to steak, this doesn't do anything anymore. So I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Does that make sense? Where are you drinking it? Yeah. Besides at the allergist clinic.
Apparently. I don't know. Something just came into the room where I'm now very congested, and something just kind of screwed me
up. Did you find Kennedy? Is that where Kennedy is?
Kennedy is in the men's room. Yeah.
They're unisex
men. So who knows what room he's in.
All right.
I don't know.
Is that
man.
Your sentence?
Yeah, that's my sentence. I'm drinking this while I wait for... No, come on.
But
it's really old.
But, yes. There's
How
a caveat.
Old is this?
That is from the personal stash. The
personal
Winter cellar.
03-04.
Wow.
Fucking A. That's awesome.
That is very
good. Because this is Augie.
Come
this
on.
Is Augie's
that's
shit.
That's beautiful. This is,
Augie
but it's genius.
Loves this beer.
And I'm fine with everything I see.
Yeah. No, you're yeah. Yes.
So let's tell them what it is.
All the dark malts.
This is Brooklyn's Black Chocolate Stout from 03-04, which I believe is the first year.
I don't think it's the first year, but it's
this beer has not
on.
Existed much longer than 13 years.
Yeah.
This is Garrett's first beer.
No matter what you say, if Augie's wrong, he's going to find a way to tell you that he was right the whole time. So,
yeah.
Sure, 03, 04, Augie, it was the first
no,
year.
No, that's the label, and I think it's close to the first year. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah,
see?
From the,
see, there's
from
caveat.
The stash. And I haven't had one of these old ones in a
Thank you
while.
For bringing this. I wish I knew you were bringing it, which would ruin the whole game. But
yeah,
I would
have
brought you.
We would have just
I think I go back to 08, and I would have brought one to trade
I got
you.
Plenty of 08.
You know,
yeah? So you're the same. Oh, you were. Wait, you were working. But
no,
this is
before
you worked
oh,
there.
Oh, that's years
But you were working
there
at some point.
But I was able to procure some in my time there of the old stuff.
Yeah, no, that's...
So, it's been in the personal
So, this is... So, we
so
were talking...
Cherrywood smoked chocolate stout early on.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
No spirit barrel.
It
loses all the edges. The acidity from the dark malts really comes forward. Like
Last
you said, that
week,
sourness.
For yes. anybody who was yeah. listening
the
like
age,
I was,
the
we
age,
talked about
yeah.
Triple Bock. Sam Adams
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But this is
that
leaning on that soy sauce thing,
yeah,
which
no,
might be the tuna steak.
It could, yeah, no, this
But you know what I mean? Like, that's where that's headed.
But, you know, that was actually a good... The tuna steak is like, I would actually not want anything more than a tuna steak with this beer.
It's as far as you can go, but it's got much going on that it wants something with
young,
some beef.
It can handle a ribeye.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when it's aged like this, it gets more delicate, I think. And,
I think it's,
you know, then
yeah,
you want
thank
this
you.
Is, this
tuna
is
tuna steak or something.
Now, and by the way,
everybody should
right,
run
but
out
let's,
and
let's
get
teach,
0304
before we read the letter, let's
oh,
tell the thieves how you stored this. Because there's no way you could just go grab an 0304 off something.
For like years.
You
right?
kept it over the pizza oven in the back of the brewery.
I certainly don't take care of my stash of beer.
You clearly take care of
it
your beer.
It was in my parents' basement for probably the first, let me think. Okay, up until 4 years ago.
All right.
When we opened the brewery.
And then it moved to the brewery?
Mom made me move all that stuff to the brewery. She's like, all right, you got 20,000 square feet. It's getting out of my basement. but then I actually, at that point, I kept it in the fridge.
Yeah, but that's fine.
I think because at a certain
point,
you kind of want to baby it, then it doesn't need to be out warmer anymore.
I couldn't.
And I think because it could. This is at the point where it could maybe go the other way. You know?
I couldn't be more happy with this. But what I'm telling you is you did something so right by it. Because it's flat.
After a while.
There's almost no
it's not
very action to the to that part of the mouthfeel at all.
No action.
But it's so...
It's a good name for a beer.
Well, if it's flat.
We have another beer if you're nice. We'll
No, we can't do it.
We
have another bottle.
Oh, this one?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know how much ridiculous. We needed.
You're a good man.
No, bring that home and share it with like people who are nice.
So let's read this letter. I'm obliged to read this letter because Justin's off mic.
Yeah, Justin is God knows
where. We have thief mail from, and it's Justin's phone, so I'm not sure I'm doing this right.
It's not.
But I believe this person's name is Barnabas Schickling.
It's not a real name.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is I believe that's the credit they want when I read it.
Oh.
Barnabas Schickling. Hey, thieves. We're not thieves.
Nope.
We're John and Augie.
Listen to the show.
You're a thief, Barnabas. Love the show. Thank you. After listening to two episodes, our monthly beer group changed formats to blind tasting format. It's been awesome. My question relates to hops. All questions relate to hops, Barnabas. Barnabas. Yeah, I'm telling you. It seems that in the current craft beer market, there's a bit of a hyperbole when it comes to how long an IPA lasts. Oh, I'm glad you're here for this. This will be a fun discussion.
Yeah, just read the letter.
We just drank a 13-year-old stout. How long can an IPA last? Hold on. It comes to how long an IPA can last on a shelf.
Oh, like
and
20 minutes?
Sometimes, yeah, 18.
Maybe.
18 or less. I only drink off the Bright. To be fair, I'm thinking about moving fermenter only. Like, I don't even want it on the
Bright. I only drink conceptual IPAs that have never been made.
Yeah, no, we're installing small Bright tanks in all the bars that carry our beer, and it's getting filled directly.
I'm going fermenter, pouring right off the cone, slurry and all.
I say these things for your benefit.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, so I get... Wait. It cut... Wait.
Oh, you're just as bad as Justin reading these things.
But I'm trying to also answer your questions, and I'm on episode 2 of the day, and I'm drinking black chocolate. Anyway, Margaret, there's a bit of a hyperbole when it comes to how long an IPA can last on the shelf, and sometimes I get customers at my store, that look at anything past a month and just put up their nose... They just put their nose up and walk away.
Yeah, get better.
Can we
customers.
Talk about hop hyperbole versus the actual volatile nature of their profile? What hop varieties are known to actually fade fast versus hop flavors that stand up in the shelf life of 90 days is average? Cheers, Lil Sip Sip, a.k.a. One Life, One Liver. Okay. So that's Barnabas' question.
This guy has a lot of nicknames.
Nicknames.
None of them given. All self-imposed. All right, so I'm going
to
propose...
Closer to the mic.
Oh, man.
It's fun to do it to you.
I'm going
to
propose two things. One, that we all answer this, but this should probably be an entire theme show to talk about this because there is a wealth of great topics that we can go down the rabbit hole on.
You're going to hate this because I'm going to end up plugging Justin's recent article about the types of IPA.
Why?
Because it'll help me give my answer.
Why
first,
am I
you
get
give
angry
your
now?
Answer. Well, because Justin, who's been off mic all day talking and upsetting you, is about to become very important to my answer. But you go first. What's your answer, John Hall? How long can an IPA last on the shelf? And let's call the shelf a 70-degree median temperature store. Standing vertically in a fluorescent light environment.
Depends on the vessel, and it depends on the beer.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Problem solved.
Yeah,
that's moving the thing. On. It's a really simple answer at the end of the day. It depends on the brewer. You know?
And what you want from the beer.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, he's probably talking really optimal, what the brewer intended flavor-wise, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I'm taking it. And, yeah, it depends on what brewer put it in what vessel and how well they did that. If there's no DO and it's, you know...
Or minimal
in
DO.
In there really well, your IPA is going to last...
Yeah, this whole myth that there's a weeks count is preposterous. Yeah. Unless it's one
some of the
made to fail.
That might be,
No, there's ones made to fail. All right, so, well, first a meat answer, and then I'll get, you know, pontificate.
I think very similar, you know. So even if you're a small brewer, there's things that you can do to, you know, make make your product shelf stable and quality, even if it's a hoppy beer. So, you know, I would say no more than 45 or 60 days. If you
Oh, no, that's preposterous.
No.
Keep in mind, I mean, let me remind
you. You ruined the show. Erase it. Let's start
IPAs
over.
IPAs were made to travel around the Cape of Good Hope. They should last 7 years and would. We're talking about the American
Every
IPA.
History.
Well, that's you know, we're talking about, yeah.
No, no, but
fresh,
I just said we're talking about the American
IPA,
but that's where I got to get into the style, and that's what you're going for, right? But if you're calling it an IPA, it should at least have, at minimum, 3 to 6 months.
So there's an interesting...
void of light.
There's an interesting thing that maybe I can contribute to this, because I started brewing in Israel, where we would get American IPAs sent overseas, and I tried them in Israel, and that's all I knew in what an IPA was. Like, I was having a Brooklyn East India IPA and a Sam Adams IPA, and when I came over here and had them way fresher, I was like, okay, that's probably how it should taste.
That's different. That's shipped across country in a non-conditioned tank for 60 days, right? That's just a top of a ship heat situation.
But you just brought that as like...
So.
But that's how Brooklyn gets from here to there. They're not paying for air-conditioned containers.
No.
So what I'm saying is that's 60 days in heat of transport. What I'm saying is the beer, well-handled, well-cared-for, should have at least 90 days in
it. Should.
But if 60 of those days are on top of a ship in the middle of the Atlantic in summer, there's no chance. But I guess what I'm saying is I'm talking about to styles, right? There's styles these days. So we all know that the hop oils in beer are in suspension when it's fresh and fall out rather quickly. Now, currently, there's a couple tricks you can use to make them stay in suspension longer. And that's a non-flock yeast or a non-flocking starch like flour. So there's guys trying to give you a beer where they're adding things that stay in suspension for 45 to 60 days. Your flours and your Konins or your Brit 3s, and those just by their nature will stay in suspension for that amount of time. And your hop oils will cling to them. So as they fall out, they'll drag the hop oils out with them. Had you started cleaner, they'd have lasted longer. But you've gone for the cloudy thing. So now your thing is to make it the buyer's fault to drink it in less than 21 days because of the flocculation that's happening in vessel, even if it's a light, devoid can. Right, so that's the myth I think he's asking about. That is true for some beers, and trust me, if you can get some of those beers day of, week of, they're unbelievable and they're amazingly juicy and beautiful and da 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 da. But those beers don't have 60 days in them. But even a well-constructed American IPA, your Pliny's,
that Pliny can last for.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Your Heady Toppers. Yeah. They're starting to get good around 6 weeks, and somehow believing that the turbid, current trend, flowered hop beer is the death of all hoppy beers is a mistake for all of us to pay attention to.
Well, absolutely. It's becoming to the point where, God forbid, a filtered IPA or even something that was just allowed more time to flock in the tank is looked at as inferior, which is just... foolish.
But that's why the black glass is here.
You know. Oh yeah, right? No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know that I buy into any of the that haziness equals more aroma and flavor.
No, haziness just equals things for lupulin
suspension
to cling to.
Yeah,
No. I get that. I don't know that I buy it though. I don't know that it's an actual
Grimm just put out a canned beer that they suggest you roll before you drink.
That makes it fact.
Do you open it?
I
Do you get open it.
It
and then roll
no,
it?
No, you roll it on its side, and that's supposed
no.
to redistribute
yeah,
all
that,
the things
too.
That are flocking
perfectly,
in the can.
Perfectly
okay.
cromulent question.
I get it.
I find
Did you say it's a cromulent question?
No,
I heard it. Don't
I
think
find
I missed
most
it.
Most of where you're getting, though, I mean, that's yeast mostly.
But it's also flour if you put flour, and I'm not saying they did.
That's a whole other
but,
topic.
But it's a thing. It's a thing, and it makes sense. Right? It's a super simple starch that is not going to get pulled out that will hold on. There's no way there's not flowered beers out there, and I'm not even mad at flowered beers. The problem is those beers have a much shorter time, and people are believing that time applies to all beer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
no,
I think that's
what
he's upset
about.
There.
Yeah, it's, you know, he probably can't sell his is I can't think of one. But if you can't some sell, other beer,
if you can't sell Trogs Nugget Nectar in a can, 60 days old, the people buying your beer are uneducated.
That is the number one thing that faces this industry.
Right, I agree.
You know,
but I'm just saying, for him,
of the public.
But I, as everybody who listens, as all the thieves know, I sit on IPAs forever because I want to see how they integrate. But the ones I hold on to are ones I believe will integrate. The minute I see tremendous turbidity in your beer, I'm just drinking it because I believe everything I'm liking will fall out with that turbidity because that's what happens when you age something. But if you've constructed a beautiful beer like, say, Alpine's Duet, everything's in line and everything should come together forever. It'll get simpler. It'll
and
get
that,
prettier.
That beer will evolve later.
That's
on
what I'm saying.
Time,
I have them.
Yeah,
but
and
I guess
think
that's
what I'm a matter of you know being technically proficient and putting a well-made beer into your bottle or can or whatever it is to begin with.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's the number one thing we can all agree upon is it's only as good as the beer going into the vessel.
Yeah, but so I guess my answer
whether
is
whether it's turbid or filtered or anything.
But so that I guess my answer is we have to stop calling everything with hops IPAs, and we have to give new subcategories to everything. Justin just wrote an article for Lucky Peach where he tried to identify.
I think it's pronounced all about beer.
No. He wrote it for Lucky Peach. I told you were going to get mad. I actually prefaced this. Check the tape. But he wrote an article for Lucky Peach where he identified worst. 9 to 12 types of IPA available these days. Your Belgians, your blah, 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 blah. I didn't go this far into it. But as you read them per Justin's boundaries, like ageable, not ageable, drink tomorrow, drink on your way home from the brewery, ageable, not ageable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how I read it as somebody who understands the styles. But if you get those styles in your head and you can figure out where they fit and you get to know them, you'll know which ones can sit for 60 days and which ones shouldn't. But the ones that shouldn't are very small or should be few and far between because they're a specific style focused on juiciness through turbidity that isn't going to make it. Most people that are making IPAs that happen to be ugly are stealing credit from those guys making those beers. So there's guys out there making those beers by choice and well, and I love drinking their beers. It's when I'm handed a shitty IPA
like
that's
anything,
cloudy.
There's always a continuum of good, the bad, and the ugly,
And the inventors. There's guys who made that style who make fantastic beers. The problem is they're copied, and sometimes they're copied by accident. Fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to say thank you.
Right.
To everybody.
StealThisBeerPodcast@gmail.com.
John Hall's run out of interest again for those of you playing him. Where else are we, John Hall?
Hell if I know. Barcade apparently at 5 o'clock on Mondays.
All right, so you can read us
Sundays.
On. You can reach us on most of the social medias.
Yeah.
At Steal This Beer.
Yeah.
Or
just ask Justin.
Well, who's not here?
JustinKennedy@gmail.com.
There's no way that's right. And if that's right, you're a horrible person.
Right. I don't know if that's right. But
you could also you can also go on to iTunes or what else are we on?
Stitcher
or. Or Google Play, Uber. And you can give us 5 stars, and you can make one friend listen and make them give us 5 stars, and then we'll say thank you.
Yeah.
But either way, we want to hear what you think. Get at us.
Hey, thanks to our guests.
Wonderful. Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah.
Why are you judging me, Brian Guest? I did say thank you to these guys.
No, thank you to our guests. Thank you for the beers.
Newberg Brewing.
Thank you for
Brian,
listening.
Do you can this beer? Is this why you're
for
so fired
up?
Up
this week. Yes. This is
does
great.
Brian handle your canning?
And,
Brian does handle
all right.
Hold on, hold on.
No, I'm just
does Brian,
gonna, I'm
is Brian good
I'm
at canning?
Down my headset now.
Brian's, yeah.
Brian. Okay, so Brian's really good at canning Newberg beers. Thank you.
And creating hype.
Get at us, y'all.
Getting the hype train moving.